The Brimstone Wedding, written by Barbara Vine and read by Juliet Stevenson.
Part 1. Chapter 1. The clothes of the dead won't wear long. They fret for the person who owned them. Stella laughed when I said that. She threw back her head and laughed in the surprisingly girlish way she had. I was telling her Edith Webster had died in the night and left cupboards full of clothes behind her, and she laughed and said she'd never known anyone as superstitious as me. "Her granddaughter's here now," I said, "handing her things out to everyone who'll take them. You know what they say, as the body rots, the clothes rot."
"Is that what they say, Genevieve? Who are they?"
I didn't reply. She was teasing me and didn't expect an answer. But I like it when Stella calls me Genevieve, because though I'm Jenny to everyone else, always have been since I was born, I was christened Genevieve. My dad called me after a vintage car in a film, if you can credit it, and to most people it's a bit embarrassing, but the way Stella says it, it's got a pretty sound. Of course, Stella has got a nice voice, what you'd call a beautiful voice, even though she's old and past having a nice anything, really. I told her some more about Edith, how Sharon found her at 7 o'clock when she went in with her tea, and how the granddaughter was there within the hour, though she hadn't been so conscientious about coming when her nan was alive. I'm not a specially tactless person or insensitive, and I'd have stopped if I thought it upset Stella, hearing about another old lady dying. But I could tell she was interested. The truth, I suspect, is that Stella thinks of herself as quite young compared with Edith, who was 94. She thinks she's got a long time left yet, and that she's one of those cancer patients who'll live for years. She's been at Middleton Hall for 6 months. We all look after all the residents, but we each have 3 in our special care. And Stella is mine, along with Arthur Harrison and Edith. Now Edith's gone, I suppose I shall get someone new. But not someone who needs a lot of care, I hope. That's not because I'm not a hard worker. I'm on my feet most of my 8-hour shift, at £3.50 an hour, which is hardly brilliant, and Arthur's always ringing his bell for me. But the fact is, I don't want to have to give less time to Stella. I like her, you see. I actually like her. And that's not something I can say about Arthur or Maud Vernon or any of the rest of them. I'm sorry for them. I want to help make their lives as pleasant as can be. But as for liking, they're past all that. It's as if they've gone into a twilight world where they've forgotten everything, don't really know where they are half the time, and call you by the names of all their relations until you remind them you're Jenny. But Stella is different. Stella is still a person in the land of the living. The other day she said to me, "I don't think of you as a nurse, Genevieve. I think of you as my friend." I was pleased. I suppose that was because she's what my nan would call a lady, in a different class from me, anyway. But all I said was she was right not to think of me as a nurse. I'm a care assistant. I've the experience, but no qualifications. She smiled. She's got a nice smile. Her teeth are all her own, and quite white still.
"I came here because of you, you know."
She always says that. It's silly, of course, it isn't true, but it amuses her to say it. Her son took her round to a good many residential homes in Suffolk and Norfolk for her to choose the one she liked best. I was in the lounge with Edith when they came in, and Stella's regular joke is to say she took a fancy to me and decided on Middleton Hall because I worked there. It wasn't the house or the grounds or the food or the private bathroom that decided her, but me.
"And I was right," she said. "It's made all the difference to me to have you here."
She likes me to talk about the village and my family, and God knows there are enough of them, and I told her about my mum and Len the lover and his mother who inherited a fur coat from her sister which fell into rags the first time she had it on. I was telling her about holes appearing in a dead woman's clothes as if the moth had been at them, when to my surprise she reached out and took my hand. First she squeezed my hand and then she held it quite lightly. She must have held it for about 5 minutes before giving it another squeeze and releasing it. Then Lena put her head round the door and made faces at me the way she does, so I got up. I didn't leap up, I wouldn't give her the satisfaction, and when I looked at Stella, I saw her wink at me.